The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name's Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. Okay, we're not going to have our special guest today. I'm shooting for Thursday on that for a variety of reasons that I don't need to get into at the moment, but I'm shooting on Thursday or Friday. Actually, Friday. I'm shooting on Friday for our special guest, although we will have a paid guest for a little while after the 1 o'clock break. We're going to talk about some things that are making news today that I'd like to put into context, and I'd also like to set up the framework for some questions to be answered, many questions that I have. But before I do all that, let me send a shout out and a big happy birthday to my brother, Father Enrique McCartney. Happy birthday, big bro. You're 50 today. You made it. And I'm proud of you. I'm not like putting mouth on you, but 50's kind of the last one. You're kind of guaranteed, you know what I mean? Without any major problems. I'm not putting mouth on you. So I'm happy you made it to 50. I'm right behind you. I'll be there in a few years. I'm not there yet, but happy 50th. Love you. And hope you're having a great day, and we'll connect later on in the week. I also wanted to send a belated birthday shout-out to my godson, Ethan Burnside. He turned 9 yesterday, so happy birthday to him. And I also wanted to send a happy anniversary out to his parents, Perron and Tara Burnside. Happy anniversary. I don't remember which anniversary it is. You guys are like 2 years ahead of me, two or three. So it's either 12 or 13 for you guys. I don't remember. But happy happy anniversary to you guys. Love you guys. Yes, Perron, I am spoiling your vibe for everybody out there. So happy birthday to your son and happy anniversary to you guys. Hope you enjoy your anniversary. I look up to you guys. Marriage is great, but, you know, it takes work, all right? Not work that's not fun, but work is work in any event, all right? So, I talked today about, in broader terms, the meaning of irony, or perhaps a level of complete unawareness of oneself and one's own words juxtaposed against one's actions. And we'll see where we go from there. We're going to talk about things that may be touchy. And I'm going to say this. I know you love your PLP. Yeah. And I know you love your FNM. I get it. I don't know what kind of cuckoo soup they put on some of you, but I know you love them. I'm not mad. Love whatever you want. But this isn't the forum for you to throw your conjecture and your accusations and your slander out there. So this ain't the forum to talk about who T-Fin or who corrupt or who any like that. And to the extent that you call me with that, not only am I going to cut you off, I'm going to put you on a bit of a timeout from this show in any event, for certain. All right. Don't matter how cool we are. Don't matter how long you've been calling. Don't make me do you like the dude who begging I pass every morning after I leave the gym. And he hit me with the same thing. And first I'm like, put your mask up. Not because of COVID, just because put your mask on, okay? And he hits me with, hey, chief, it's me, right? Like, I'm like, is it you, partner, right? Because it being you don't change the fact that I don't have no money on me. Or the fact that if I had money on me, I wasn't going to give it to you because I've seen you steadily on here for about 5 years now, before and after the pandemic. And me giving you money every now and then, a different strategy should be approached. While you out here on the corner and we're writing stories about women out there who can't afford to put enough food on the table for their children. So don't be like that guy. Don't say because it's me. Right? Because it don't matter who it is. Don't call here with your nonsense, all right? Exercise your brain, dig deeper into your vocabulary, and try to frame your thoughts in a way that goes beyond just satisfying your need to spew invective and kind of has a thoughtful approach to it. So let me explain what I'm talking about here. We're going to talk about Candida Dames National Review today and in the context of the broader issue of the Disaster Reconstruction Agency. Now, I'm going to say this. I sense a disturbance in the force, okay? A large one. And for more reasons than one, but I'm going to begin to frame it to just show you, like, why people fail to have trust in what our leaders tell them, okay? So let me see if I can refresh your memory. Does anyone remember along the campaign trail of the 2017 general election, the general thrust of the Free National Movement's messaging? Let me take you back in time, right? So the general thrust was there were allegations that the VAT money was stolen. Now, I never said the VAT money was stolen, but I didn't think the VAT money was properly accounted for in terms of detailing it out in the budget, and in terms of the billion-dollar windfall that was value-added tax to the revenue of the government of the Bahamas. But in any event, there were allegations that the VAT money was stolen. There was all this sip-sip about what was going on. Who was then in charge of the Hurricane Matthew cleanup fund and process. And there was this rallying cry of, they going to jail. You remember all this, right? So FNM won the election, and instead of shifting gears into more of a governance mode, the FNM spent the next year hurling accusation after accusation, building case after case of government misfeasance, allegedly, by the Christie administration. They spent months drumming up speculation about former cabinet ministers being under investigation. They then took Shane Gibson to court, shackled, accused Shane Gibson of receiving bribes, all to do with the Hurricane Matthew relief money. Okay? If you recall, the allegations were that Ash was receiving money that was borrowed by the government for Hurricane Matthew relief to remove debris. And they would take it to a central place. And he was getting, you know, massive amounts of money, $100,000 this week, another $100,000, $50,000, $200,000 this week, et cetera, right? Millions of dollars, essentially. And there was this pervasive thing put out there that Shane Gibson was receiving bribes from Ash, right? And he was taken to court under that premise. Those cases fell apart. They were unable to successfully get any conviction or win any appeals. And eventually, the taxpayers paid for those failed prosecutions. They spent over cases spending that money on foreign queens' councils. Frank Smith was taken to court, all right, former MP, former senator, former head of the Public Hospital Authority. He was found not guilty. He was acquitted. That was to do with something different than the hurricane money, but I'm just trying to help refresh your memory. Ken Dorsett was taken to court with the same material virtual complainant, Ash, claiming that he too was receiving bribes in connection with the hurricane relief money from Matthew. Remember this? They made a big, huge thing about it, spent the first year of the campaign talking about the money, the unbudgeted expenses, how the cupboards were bare. We went and borrowed $750 million. And while they're doing that and thinking about raising value-added tax, we were treated to the spectacles of these trials where former cabinet ministers were accused in open court of essentially conspiring to steal the hurricane relief money. All right? Because if you remember, after Hurricane Matthew, the Christie administration came and borrowed, it was over $100 million. And that was to have the recovery and reconstruction from Matthew. Right? So that went on for a long time. And in fact, Ken Dorsett has never gone to trial. He's been in limbo for years and years this entire time. Frank Smith was acquitted. Shane Gibson was acquitted. So let's speed up to a few years later on the campaign trail of the 2021 general election. Actually, before we do that, let me not jump the gun. Let's go to from 2017, 2018. Let's go to 2019, all right? September 1, 2019. Hurricane Dorian hits Abaco. Bahama decimates huge chunks of Abaco and Grand Bahama. $3 billion plus worth of damage is what we're told. A couple of weeks after that, the Minnis administration forms the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness, Management, and Reconstruction. Okay? Remember this? Iram Lewis. Dorian hit on September 1st. By September 23rd, they had formed this ministry, and Iram Lewis was made minister. By November 29th, the Disaster Reconstruction Authority was created, all right, and actually in law was established. It was gazetted on November 29, 2019. A few months later, Kay Forbes Smith was hired to be the managing director of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Before that, John Michael Clark was appointed chairman of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. If you look at the law, which I have right in front of me, the chairman and the board, they're appointed before the managing director is selected. The managing director is selected by the board with approval in writing from the minister. All right, the board, and I'll tell you what the board's responsible for, right, and what the managing director's responsible for. The board is actually responsible for all the money, all the reporting, et cetera. The board. All right. The managing director is responsible for the day-to-day operations of the DRA. So that was created shortly after Hurricane Dorian hit. And so that was the thrust for numerous months until the COVID-19 pandemic hit. Then the prime minister and the cabinet collectively appeared to have lost its mind and forked over all their power to the competent authority, and I don't have to recall that entire ride for you, but I will just take you briefly to the 2021 campaign trail when, as opposed to talking about the accomplishments of the Free National Movement Administration, the former prime minister, Dr. Hubert Minnis, talked ad nauseum, and I hope the FNM now realizes, to their great embarrassment, about what a terrible Prime Minister Brave Davis would be. And one of the key messages that our Prime Minister at the time took to Abaco, again, crushed in huge parts of Abaco by Hurricane Dorian, did he take a message of, here's what we did for Abaco? Did he take a message of, hope is on the way, here's recovery, all that? No, Marie. Here's what he said to Abaconians when he went there. He said, if you vote for Brave Davis in the PLP, you'll never see the Hurricane Dorian relief money. The level of cognitive dissonance that it takes to say something like that after you've been in charge of the Hurricane Dorian relief for 2 years and have not realized any sort of satisfactory outcome for those people in Abaco, the balls it takes to go and say that to their face, that if you vote for Brave Davis, you're never going to see the hurricane relief money, when they still haven't seen the hurricane relief money 2 years after the hurricane hit and you've been in charge this entire time, when you were all this cap about $1 billion plus in pledges. Yeah. So let's just be frank and call it what it is. And again, I said it's going to get touchy and people's feelings are going to get hurt. The last administration did a dismal job of recovery and reconstruction after Dorian. Last year, I spoke to John Michael Clark, who by all accounts is a very nice guy. And he explained to me that the shelter that was primarily funded by the government of India through a large donation and then other donations from nonprofit organizations, he told me the shelter would be complete by the end of the year. Does anyone know if the hurricane shelter that was supposed to be built in Abaco has been complete yet? It certainly hasn't been publicly opened yet. When I spoke to John Michael Clark, he told me that the domes that we reportedly paid $6.4 million for, that still had not been erected, that they would be up. Only for Pakeja Parker to come after I.M. Lewis was transferred to a different ministry to come and say, we're seeing if the dome should be built after all. Well, you can go check John Pinder, the MP for Central and South Abaco, and he can explain to you, or you can go check Alex Storr, who's the chairman, executive chairman now of the DRA, who just went to Abaco, and you can ask him about the domes and the hurricane shelter and the debris sites. So we didn't hear much about the DRA, did we? After Minnis lost the election, after his prophecy of doom and gloom that if you vote for Brave, you'll never see the Hurricane Dorian relief money. We didn't hear much about the DRA by this administration, which I found curious. Because according to the law, the board of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, inclusive of the managing director, and I know you're going to get touchy, no problem. Reach out and touch me if you need to. I'll give you the phone numbers. According to the law, you've never complied with the law in terms of your fiduciary responsibilities to account for the money vested in the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. Yes, last March, you filed an unaudited financial statement in violation of the law, but you've never complied with the law, which says that 3 months after the end of the fiscal year, and Kay Forbes Smith seemed to be confused about the end of the fiscal year, when that is, she seems to be the only one. Because everyone who works in government knows what a year means in budgetary. Since Ingram changed the budget year in, what was that, 93? There's no confusion about it. That a year in government finances does not follow the Gregorian calendar. That it is specifically from July 1 to June 30th of the following year. There's no confusion. The Disaster Reconstruction Authority never complied with the law in terms of its fiduciary reporting responsibility. The Disaster Reconstruction Authority, the board, the managing director, never publicly disclosed the contracts that they were entered into and what the amounts of those contracts were and who the principals of those companies were. We had no idea. Millions and millions and millions of dollars. No one accounted for it properly. Nobody in government seemed to make it a priority, despite the Minnis cabinet overseeing prosecutions of former cabinet ministers specifically for what they said was misuse of hurricane relief money. Nobody ever accounted. Not I.M. Lewis. Again, I'll give you the numbers. You're all free to call me and tell me I'm wrong and give me the evidence to show that. Not I.M. Lewis, who was the first minister of disaster preparedness. not Pakesia Parker. Edgecombe, who was the second minister, minister of state, whatever, for disaster preparedness. Not John Michael Clark, who's the chairman of the board, who's a very nice guy, I should add. And not K. Forbes Smith. No one to this day can explain all of this to me, but I'll tell you where we are today. Where we are today is a ball of confusion and a lot of slapping up about what may or may not, okay? So, just so I help you to understand what the law is, just in terms of the audit that counts, right? Here's what the Disaster Reconstruction Authority Act says. This was gazetted into law on November 29th, 2019. This ain't a suggestion. This is the law. And you tell me I'm wrong that any of this happened. All right? Section 11, Accounts and Audit. One, the authority shall. Okay? The word shall in law is a very specific and intentional word. It leaves no room for doubt. It doesn't. It's not may. It doesn't say if you feel like or if you have time. Or if circumstances allow. The law says the authority shall keep proper accounts and other records and shall prepare in respect of each financial year a statement of accounts. Part two, the accounts of the authority for each financial year shall be audited by an auditor appointed by the minister after consultation with the authority. Section 3. 3 months after the end of each financial year. We're clear on what a financial year is in government in terms of the law, right? 3 months after the end of each financial year, the authority shall submit a copy of the audited accounts to the minister, together with a copy of any report made by the auditor. The minister shall lay a copy of such audited accounts before both houses of parliament, together with a copy of any report made by the auditor on the accounts. Five, all contracts awarded by the authority within a fiscal year shall be publicly disclosed at the end of the fiscal year. None of this that I'm aware of, particularly 2, 3, 4, and 5, ever happened. Now, if you have something different to show me, such as the Hansard of the House of Assembly, if you have some gazetted statement by the Disaster Reconstruction Authority that I can look at that represents audited accounts, if you can prove to me that 3 months after the end of each financial year, which you can't because it didn't happen, the authority submitted a copy of the audited accounts to the minister, together with any copy of any report made by the auditor, and that minister submitted the audited accounts before both houses of parliament with a report made by the auditor, then I'll happily say I'm wrong. If you can prove to me that all contracts awarded by the Disaster Reconstruction Authority within each fiscal year, there's been three of them, shall be publicly disclosed at the end of the fiscal year, that was done, I will happily submit to you that I am wrong. So if there's anybody out there who can say that these things were done, because I'm saying, Juan McCartney, I'm saying they were not done, and that the Disaster Reconstruction Authority is in violation of the law. If anyone out there can prove me wrong on that, the number to call is 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. I want documentary evidence that it was done, because I'm saying it was not done, and the Disaster Reconstruction Authority to this day is in violation of the law that established it. So we've established that the Disaster Reconstruction Authority has not complied with the law and has not been transparent, particularly under the Minnis administration, which established it. The Minnis administration that oversaw the prosecution of Shane Gibson, about Hurricane Matthew money, the Minnesota administration that oversaw the arraignment, the charging of Kenrod Dorsett, former Minister of Environment, over alleged misuse of the hurricane money, the administration that oversaw the reconstruction and supposed recovery after Hurricane Dorian that established the Disaster Reconstruction Authority through the Office of the Prime Minister, the administration, over which the former prime minister resided, who went to Abaco and said, if you elect Brave Davis in the PLP, you'll never see the Hurricane Dorian relief money. That administration was in violation of the law it established. And this administration, insofar as its failure to do any of these things as yet, is also in violation. But I'm not worried about them at the moment. Here's what you're going to tell me, because it sounds good, but it makes no sense. You're going to say, well, the administration changed, right? 3 months after the fiscal year, that's the end of September, right? So the administration changed on September 16th. How are we supposed to prepare documents and have them submitted? No. The law doesn't say if the administration changes, that doesn't happen. The law gives you a date. So if the law is subject to the whim of the administration changing, someone should go explain that to the FNM. Because last I checked, the leader of the FNM, Michael Pintard, rightly pointed out that the Davis administration was in violation of the Fiscal Responsibility Act several weeks ago when it was late with the Fiscal Strategy Report and other documents. It indeed was in violation. It came into compliance later, but it indeed violated the act. And Michael Pintard rightly pointed that out. So if the FNM understands that the law isn't contingent upon which administration is in power, then the FNM should understand that the Disaster Reconstruction Authority multiple times was in violation of the law. We're going to talk about Candida Ames National Review after this break. But I just wanted to establish all that for you so you understood. Again, my numbers to call, if you got evidence to prove me wrong about any of this, 323-6232, 325-4316, and 325-4259. The text line is 422-4796. We'll be right back.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ross Electric Motors, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.
There's only one way to have a better morning.
How?
Start your mornings the best way with our 2 for $6 breakfast sandwiches at Wendy's. For a limited time, choose any two of your favorite breakfast sandwiches, including the fresh Kraken Sack Muffin, honey buttermilk chicken biscuit, double sausage muffin, or the sausage egg and cheese biscuit. Wash it all down with our cold brew shake or coffee. Better mornings always start at Wendy's. Wendy's, different inside and out. Exclusive airport locations.
Good day, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. How may I help you today?
Hey, listen, I just heard about your mom.
Yes, sir. How may I help you, sir?
I hear you're giving out free drinks. And I's a mom with 12 children. I love free drinks.
Well, yes, sir. If you're ordering with Airborne Freight and Cargo Services for the first time, we will be giving you prizes just for shipping with us.
Hold on, wait. What are y'all giving out, sir?
Well, we're giving away gas vouchers, coupons from various outlets, up to 20% off your shipping fee, and so much more.
Could y'all please stop slamming my door? None of y'all pay no bills inside you. Sorry about that, Mom. Hey, y'all is shipped double shoulders because this woman expecting twins again, Dred.
Airborne Freight and Cargo Services. Get rewarded for being a new customer on top of our ready low rates. Call us at 377-0450 or visit us on Facebook at Ship Airborne for more information.
Know how important collecting your money can be to the success of your business. Start your relationship with Fidelity today so that we can show you the many options available to you with our merchant services. From click and pay options online to merchant terminals and e-commerce options, we're here to help your business succeed. For more details, speak to one of our business development officers at 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 in Freeport. Visit our website at fidelitygroup.com or visit any of our branches.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators, and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
The Water and Sewage Corporation extends an invitation to its valued customers with past due balances to feel free to visit their offices at the Mall of Marathon and the head office on University Boulevard to speak with a customer representative who will be happy to assist with your account concerns.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution. We're going to get into the national review. Oh, we got a call? Sure, we can do that too before we get into it. We got some time. We got today and tomorrow if need be. I just want to give you an idea of what we're talking about in terms of what the numbers were looking like for the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. So approved, this is 2021-2022 initial budget, which was from last June, right? So Disaster Reconstruction Authority from July through March, July 2020 to March 2021. They don't have it for July 2019 to 2020, because I think it just went through the Office of the Prime Minister. But the Ministry of Disaster Preparedness in and of itself, not just the DRA, but here's the kind of money we're talking about. So it's $19 million. From July through March, all right? And then, and there was only $11 million approved, so they went over $8 million. All right, so for 2021's, all right? And then it goes down to several million, and it shifts around. And then we get into the Disaster Reconstruction Authority itself. We're not talking about small sums of money, all right? We're talking about huge amounts of money that no one that I'm aware of has made clear how this money was spent or submitted to any financial audit that we're aware of or complied with the law in terms of making it public as to what happened to the money. Again, I'll give you my numbers. Tell me I'm wrong. Tell me that what I'm saying is incorrect and give me some proof of it. And I'll be happy to say that I'm totally wrong and that the DRA was in compliance with the law. Because from all evidence that I have on the public record, the DRA has not been in compliance with Section 11 of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority Act at any point in time. Not parts 3 through 5 for certain. Let's go to the phone line. Sure, let's take a phone call. No problem. Be guided by what I said earlier, please. Good afternoon. Welcome to the Revolution.
Good afternoon. How are you doing, my boy?
I'm great. How's it going?
Nice, man. I had a good show today, too. See, and that's why I respect you. and you know, see, and right on point. That's why I saw them problems up sometimes. I say the Florida states got to keep these politicians' feet to the fire. See, they think that they're riding one and our blue plate and red players show for Jamaica. They think they control everything, but man, you wanna they put the same with the people. And the white man won. You dead, right? See, and now don't forget now. Let me ask you one question that you forget to answer. Account committee.
The opposition.
Yes, the leader of who?
The Brave Davis was in charge of the public account committee.
See, oh, what a scheme they're playing. See, I love man, I love the Bahamas, I love my baby people. But let's over now. You got to govern now. I mean, watching every Jesus Christ thing. All these things like that. With the Davis have the opinion right now, it affects a lot of things in this country. All discriminating the laws, we can't get a casino, we can't get a light in hand, get a ourselves. If you do these things, he'll be the best man in this country of us, you know. And I know John might get locked quite well worn. We've got plenty made the project together. He's a good engineer and he's a good man. Question man. You see, what happened in Freeport? Freeport is a low line area. I know it's Duncan Wick. What they needed to do, they would afford the bill, COVID 5 across the block, for the seal that was done, for the block, says, put them into the back, we'll tamp it down and lock the seal in to go high foundation. Rather than going to our business on 12, but I'm talking, go 16 acres of the ground. See, but we can get the country right one. That's why by 2027, the whole will screw all of the dial. They need to get a week. They hate this country and all the games they play in. They wait in the more one, and they also an excellent job, man. Thanks for my call.
Okay. Gotcha. Let me just, while we have the time we have left, let me just go through the National Review piece by Kennedy Adames. All right? Because I want to understand how our money was spent and who's determining value for money and what exactly was done. Because nobody's really explained that to me yet. Right? So you guys feel comfortable with throwing huge amounts of money out there and nobody's checking. So, again, and this isn't to say, oh, Peter, no better than Paul. What I'm saying is this, right? Just the basics don't cut it for me. So you're telling me that, oh, because of the COVID pandemic, we couldn't do what we want to do. That don't cut it for me, dude. There's still been tens of millions of dollars spent. Explain it to me, right? So this current administration goes, well, we think it makes sense to spend $30 million this year to finish a baseball stadium that will never generate $30 million in revenue, let alone $60 million as a total cost. And you have no compunction about doing that. Yet you tell me you're undergoing deep analysis to see if there needs to be a continuation of the unemployment assistance benefit or restarting of the unemployment assistance benefit. I'm wondering, how does it work? You look at hungry people and go, well, we want to understand the benefit of spending a dollar more after you made a campaign promise to bring immediate relief to people and put cash directly into people's hands through social services and the RISE program, et cetera, and that hasn't happened 6 months in. You're taking your time and carefully looking into that. But, hey, man, that stadium needs $30 million. Let's do it. And the rationale is, do you want us to just put the other 27 to waste? Well, let me say this. While there are people out there, like the woman in today's Nassau Guardian story, who is working but not working full-time and has four children and says she's trying to find money to buy lime juice, then maybe I do want you to leave the $27 million there for now. Maybe it's not as important as some other things. And maybe you should justify that. But I'm saying that same standard I applied to the former administration, I apply to every government. So you just can't throw big numbers at me and let me, oh, it's too much. But the hotel room in Dubai, I want a report on that. Right? I want a detail. I want the names. I want to know who decided who went, because that's real important, right? But yet you sat 19 and said nothing while the DRA remained in non-compliance. And I'm ashamed, because we're the ones who went to the world hat in hand asking for money, asking for help, saying we couldn't do it by ourselves, explaining what happened to our economy. We're the ones who go to the United Nations General Assembly and go, well, big countries, you got to stop burning all this fossil fuel. The hurricanes are killing us. You take out loans in our name to address this stuff, and nobody's accountable, and it's just no big deal. And I'm going to show you where the knife gets twisted here. And whoever's name is called, feel perfectly free to give me a call and explain it to me. I'd love to know. This is Candia Dame's piece. It is called Value for Money? It says, in absence of audit, DRA remains unaccountable. Former chairman says contracts were awarded above board. All right. She writes, this week's revelation that former Disaster Reconstruction Authority Managing Director Catherine Smith has sued the government for more than $400,000 for breach of contract after she was terminated from the role last year pushed back into the spotlight the work of that agency and raised fresh questions regarding whether Bahamian taxpayers have received value for money from those engaged to manage the cleanup and restoration efforts post-Dorian and those contracted to carry out the actual work on the ground in Abaco and Grand Bahama. Although a DRA progress report dated February 2021 was tabled in Parliament last year, the authority remains in violation of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority Act 2019, which mandates that the DRA submit a copy of its audited accounts to the minister responsible, together with a copy of any financial year. The act also requires that all contracts awarded by the authority within the fiscal year be publicly disclosed at the end of each fiscal year. I should also add, the act requires the minister to table those reports in both houses of parliament. She continues, none of this happened. And so we remain in the dark regarding contracts awarded by the authority and how public funds were handled. Okay. She says, a list of hundreds of companies engaged by the authority is contained in the progress report, but there are no contract details. The DRA's unaudited statement of operations for the period ending December 23rd, 2020 has a total expenditure of $26.5 million. Speaking with National Review yesterday, DRA Executive Chairman Alex Storr said an audit is ongoing and there is much that is concerning. He said, as a matter of fact, we're in Grand Bahama and we're finding contracts that have been issued that don't seem to have been properly monitored. The invoices were being paid without the proper checks being done. Storr said examining the various contracts has been distracting and the authority wants to focus fully on bringing much needed relief to Abaco and Grand Bahama. He said there's still much accounting that has not been done. Speaking with Nassau Guardian reporter Jasper Ward on Monday, Storr pointed to one of the contracts under review. He was speaking about the contract awarded to Sunrise Sanitation and Disposal, a company owned by former Free National Movement Senator Heather Husband, who managed the Treasure Key debris management site. Storr said the company was granted a contract with payments ranging between $150,000 and $320,000 per month. Hunt confirmed that the work is ongoing. I'm going to stick a pin in it there. But before I do, let me also say that Heather Hunt, who, as I understand it, is hosting the Hip Back today, and hopefully she will seek to bring more clarity to this, who is an attorney, she also has done legal work for the DRA while her company, Sunrise Sanitation, has been doing debris site management work for the DRA. I don't gotta spell it out too clearly for you that that's a stark conflict of interest. We'll be back after the news updates.
Always on the go? Missed the show? You can now listen to Guardian Radio talk shows anytime, anywhere on Spotify and YouTube by searching Guardian Radio 96.9 FM or by entering the name of your favorite show. You can also listen by logging on to guardiantalkradio.com and clicking on the podcast tab. Guardian Radio, continuing to provide you with fresh news and smart talk anywhere, anytime, all day.
Guess what I did in school today?
Hold on, sweetie. Mommy's sending a text.
But Mommy, my teacher said that you're not supposed to text and drive.
I know what I'm doing.
Oh, look, Mommy, the Smith twins. Mommy, watch out!
In 2017, approximately 54 people died as a result of traffic accidents. A percentage of these fatalities occurred as a result of texting while driving. Just taking your eyes off the road for 5 seconds can increase your chance of crashing. Remember, even the smallest voice counts.
Brought to you by UB Radio and Guardian Radio 96.9.
Your print needs are short or long run, digital printing, wide format, or print consultation. Call the best. Call Printmasters. They have been in the printing business since 1957 and are a printing company with a tradition of excellence. The goal of Printmasters is to provide their clients with the highest levels of personal and professional service at an affordable price, along with the technology that makes working together efficient and easy. Lamination, business cards, flyers, posters, window and floor decals are just a few of the digitized printing services offered at Printmasters. Call 302-2361 and print with the best. Print with Printmasters.
This is Guardian Radio 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, Bahamas. Welcome back to the Revolution on Guardian Radio. Speaking with Premier Educational Solutions about some of the things that they have to offer in terms of helping students, particularly those who are trying to prepare for national exams. All right, we're going to talk to them in a few minutes. We're going to try to finish what we started with National Review, and we're also going to be reading some of your text messages. If you feel like calling, great. If you're itching to call to say something crazy, don't. We can do without that. But if you want to, knock yourself out. All right? It says, wow, Juan, wow, 50? Yeah, 50. Yeah, it's lots of people that are 50 plus out here. Unmask these children in schools and everywhere. Unmask them. There's no science behind this, only political science. All right, we're not dealing with kids in masks today. This is one. When I read the article by Candida Ames and saw what Heather Hunt, a former senator, said, that she finds it strange that all this is coming out because of her running for a position. Is she serious? Is this what the FNM has to offer as future leaders? Shameful. This is our leaders are great students of the Rahm Emanuel philosophy of never letting a crisis go to waste. This house of cards we play with our money has reached its destructive end. Says one, but it is the current government calling for or pursuing the audit of the funds. So Peter ain't no better than Paul. We the people have to demand the audit. Again, the current board of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority has a legal obligation to ensure, as well as the minister responsible, which, unless I'm mistaken, is the prime minister, although he may have delegated that to someone else. LaRota? I can't remember. Anyway, the cabinet, where it says minister in the law, that really just means the cabinet. The cabinet and the DRA have a legal obligation to disclose the reports. Juan, do you know what qualifications the Forbes woman of the DRA has to earn that kind of salary? She is a civil engineer. I mean, $110,000 plus a year, plus $30,000 plus. How? What's going on there? Love to know who hired her for that salary and if there's any relationship there. Well, here's the thing. That's a big salary, no doubt, right? And you do have every right to ask for qualifications for that salary. I'll hip you to some realities. That's not the highest salary you're going to see in entities that are funded by the government. Okay? But you have every right to ask about our qualifications. You have every right to ask if you're getting value for money. Absolutely every right. It's taxpayer dollars. And I don't want to hear, oh, only in the Bahamas. I don't want to hear none of that. If you don't mind where your VAT money and customs money and real property tax, if you don't mind of them putting it in a pile and setting it on fire, that's all good for you. Me, I care. All right? I care. I don't hear no, oh, because she's a woman. I don't hear none of that. All right? If it's $110,000 of my money per year, plus, 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 I want to know what the deal is. All right? You remain ignorant, not a problem. I'm going to figure out what the deal is. And I'm going to figure out if we got value for money. One, NIB have money for plenty of people who applied for maternity and sickness benefits since last year and haven't been paid to this date. Now the government talking about finding money for this and that when people have paid their contributions can't get a dime. It says, I'm a taxpayer and I care too. That's a lot of money. That's a lot of money. And you can't style me. Oh, only the Bahamas, yeah. Because civil servants don't make no money in only Bahamas. I'm sorry. Civil servants don't make a lot of money lots of places. But people still question the award of cushy contracts to run entities that are funded by taxpayer dollars. Maybe only in the Bahamas we choose to bury our heads in the sand and not ask for accountability. But it ain't only in the Bahamas where people ask these questions. I promise you. It says these guys don't like reporting contracts because I believe it can lead to or show kickbacks. That's why my belief is that the current government will gut the e-procurement because it can expose too much. One, it isn't that the government boards and permanent secretaries don't know how to do their work. They simply refuse to because it will destroy the quid pro quo system that's enjoyed by the two parties. The PLP will never enact the freedom of information because it will expose their soon-to-be wrongdoings and keep an eye on the e-procurement. I won't be surprised if they simply ignore it. That's fine. We can call for the PLP to do that, but I'm for what may or may not happen in the future, but I'm actually at this moment interested in what happened in reality. It says we have to elevate our thinking as Bahamians and stop accepting every and any sorry explanation from our leader. Listen to me carefully. Okay? If we're talking economies of scale for the size of the economy of the Bahamas and the level of government expenditure we have, particularly as a proportion to our economy, $110,000 a year to run an authority is a salary, okay? In fact, I'll submit this to you. $110,000 a year in the Bahamas for most occupations is a very good salary. Now, a lot of you like to lie and cap like you're making $1 million a year. No problem, all right? But the vast majority of people don't make more than $100,000 a year in this entire region, okay? You're in the upper echelon of earners. If you don't own the business or aren't generating your own money, if you make over $100,000 a year, and there's nothing out of the ordinary of asking what determines that that position should get that salary. Nothing whatsoever. Let's stop acting like we're so worldly that money ain't a thing, because it clearly bloody is. It is to me, for certain. Or opt me out, right? I'll just pay for the things that I use, like the roads and the street like that, and the trash pickup, and you pay for everything else that's money ain't a thing to you. We got a phone call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
That ain't cool. I know if you finished with what you was reading from Ken D at the end, right? But after hearing what you were saying, right? And the questions you're asking and the bunch of confusion, right? I say, although we might not have the money to be able to spend on a commission and inquiry, right? Maybe to pay, to get the real answers, to find out the foolishness, and we ain't just starting this thing now. When this government change over the next, after the next election, whatever, we'll do research and find out what these people are doing today. But I was thinking, like, people like, maybe even you want, if they have to pay you to work along from the media side with the police office to do the investigation, to work for the prosecution part of the commission inquiry, you could use old prosecutors, sorry, I used the wrong word, retired prosecutors. We could have people like Anita Allen, Dame Joan Sawyer, who I believe have a passion for bringing out the truth. And like I say, people like you want, people like you work in the media to do the research and the investigation, to work along with the police to bring some truth. We need to make them responsible. We keep talking about it and saying how sickening it is and saying, yeah, just in the Bahamas and all that stuff and all that foolishness. But we need to make an example of them. One wrong is wrong. They taking advantage of the system. They just raping us financially. Keep up the good work, brother.
Okay. I gotcha. Do we have our guest as yet? Okay, great. We're going to speak to... Says, there are many people like me that make $1 million per year. Coincidentally, my salary adds up to exactly that after NIB. Yeah, no doubt. If you make $1 million a year, I'm so happy for you. That's not in any circumstance whatsoever normal. All right, you're very fortunate. God has blessed you. I'm happy for you. Ouchel, most people don't see six figures a year. The vast majority of people who have college educations do not make more than six figures a year. All right, and the vast majority of people who have college educations in most of the world don't make over six figures a year. I don't know who's been telling you different. Okay, we got on the line our guest for today. And if I am not mistaken, I am speaking with Talia Perez, who's a partner and educational consultant at Premier Educational Solutions. Good afternoon, Ms. Yeah. Perez.
Yes. Oh, good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. Thank you for having me.
Excellent. So good to have you on. Okay, so you are with Premier Educational Solutions. I had a chance to peruse your website today, and now your name makes sense to me because you provide solutions for those who are particularly trying to cope with a school environment that is online, as well as other services. Explain to us what it is that you do.
Right, yes. So because of the pandemic, Courtney Benjamin Roberts and I decided to start Premier Educational Solutions as an alternative to the brick and mortar school. Ironically, the students do come to us, but they're on an online school curriculum. It could be either Canada or the United States. Help bridge a gap that has been happening with the pandemic of just schools not being open. So we help parents with their children and liaise with the teachers. We help them with the assignments. As they get older into grade 11 and 12, I help them with their college applications and SAT preparation. So we and also with their BJC and BGCSE exams. So we do a lot, actually.
I see that. Actually, it's a great, great initiative. So you also have a program where if kids or students are participating in virtual learning, they can come to you, mm-hmm. and you provide yes. monitoring and supervision.
Absolutely, and we invigilate the exams. And parents are frustrated, right, with the situation, and some of them have gone back to work, and they just can't juggle going to work and dinners and, you know, have you done your homework? Have you done the science project? You know, so we do everything for them, and we even sit in the parent-teacher conferences for them via Zoom.
Oh, that's excellent. You know, one of the things I find, because my kids are doing like a hybrid thing now, but my mm-hmm. son's to the point where he's so advanced in how to use a computer that he's doing all sorts of different things while school's going on. And if you don't sit there with him or check on him every like 5 to 10 minutes, he will be doing something completely other than focusing on classwork that you have no idea that he's doing. And so the monitoring aspect is really important.
Right. Actually, we do have a student from here that comes in from QC, that comes in on the days that he's hybrid. And mom had the same concern. So we make sure that his camera is on and that he does his homework before he leaves and that he doesn't have his phone on. Right. So we do help in that aspect.
All right. So you also deal with the BJC and the BGCSE exams, as well as tutoring in core subjects. Have you found that kids have been keeping up as well as they would have in the in-person environment as in the virtual learning? Because for the most part, I hear no, but then I do hear some parents who say virtual has been good for their kids.
Well, you know, every child is different. I always say that. For the most part, there is a gap that we have had to bridge, especially when it comes to English language and mathematics. So we have an amazing math tutor that comes in 3 times a week that helps bridge that gap as well. I mean, I'm very old school. I mean, at the end of the day, there's nothing like a teacher being in front of you, even though you have online work to do. So, but there are some students who are high flyers and they love to be independent. They're the ones who usually don't play nice with others.
Right.
And teamwork is difficult for them. So we also help with that aspect as well. One of the things that we have noticed because of the pandemic is that students who were supposed to graduate in 2020 or 2021 just didn't do well. So we've offered kind of a second senior year for them to get a higher GPA or to finish their high school diploma.
Excellent. Very good. All right. So tell us how we can contact you and the process of kind of getting students involved, getting parents involved, as well as where it is that you're located.
Right. So along with just very quickly, we also do credit recovery courses and executive function courses to help those students who can't focus. So we are located at Myrtle Close in Airport Industrial Park.
Okay.
You could contact Courtney Benjamin Roberts at 557-8248 or myself at 556-3H, Facebook at PES242. We're on Instagram at Premier Ed Solutions 242, or you could just Google us at Premier Educational Solutions and our website should come up.
Okay. Now, by the way, I went to high school with Courtney Benjamin Roberts. She was just Courtney Benjamin then, not to put an age on her, but tell her I said hi.
I will.
So also you have specialized skilled courses that you offer. What does that mean?
Well, we are about to start 2 courses. One would be with computer science courses. We have a great computer science teacher who, for adults, who just wants to teach programming and just basic computer science. And then we also thought that the community could also need as adults courses just to how to write a resume, how to do an interview, how to look for jobs, just basic courses of just how to function in life, really.
Absolutely. All right. Now, you also do college advising and scholarship application support. How does that work?
I do. So I have been a college counselor for about 10 years now, and I do specialize in Caribbean scholarships. I'm Caribbean myself. I'm not from the Bahamas. I'm from Puerto Rico, but I had to go through the process as well. So the college application process can be quite lengthy for the United States and for Canada. So I do provide advisory for parents and for students to go through not only college prep, but through the application, through Common App, through the application in Canada at OUAC. I help them find scholarships that are outside the scopes of the school. Right now, because of COVID, schools are a little bit tight with money, so they're not giving out as much scholarships as they used to. And I also help student athletes apply to the NCAA.
Excellent. Okay, so we're looking at tutoring. How does that work? What do you offer tutoring in, and when does that happen?
We offer tutoring after school. Obviously, it's flexible because if the kids are online and they're not with us and they could come in during the day, we offer that as well. And we offer tutoring in all the core subjects, math, literature, sciences, U.S. history, European history. We're very well-versed. And we also, I mentioned the credit recovery courses, and we offer tutoring for that as well. Those courses are for students who have failed a high school credit, whether it's math or English or sciences or any of those. and the school approves us to do a 4 to 6 week course for them to just catch up from that missing credit. So we tutor in those subjects as well.
Oh, I see. Okay, I have someone who's calling in to ask if you are registered and recognized by NACOB, the National Accreditation Equivalency.
We're registered. We're going through the NACOB process right now. So we're, I think the confusion is that people think that we are a school with a curriculum, mm-hmm. and that is not the case. The curriculum comes from the online schools, and we help facilitate it. So the schools that we use in the U.S., like Liberty University or Laurel Springs or Forest Trails or Ontario Virtual Schools, I ensure that they're all accredited and that the high school diploma is accepted in almost all colleges and universities. And I do that because about 10 years ago, I had a parent come to me and the online school didn't exist, and that brought problems to the student athlete in the NCAA. Oh, and wow. I vowed that would never happen again.
Yeah, no kidding. That's awkward.
And just to be fair, I was not the one who advised on which online program. The parent came to me to fix the problem.
Yeah, okay. You had to deal with it. Okay, so, yeah. You know, a lot of the virtual school, the hybrid schooling, it's happening because of the COVID-19 pandemic. And there are still lots and lots of parents who are very concerned about safety for their kids and for themselves. So what's your COVID protocol situation like?
Absolutely. So we're in a great space in Airport Industrial Park, and the seats are actually 6 feet apart. We are limiting only 22 to 24 students that can be here with masks on all the time. We do have a balcony outside for lunch where they could take it off and they go in sporadically. Like, they don't all go at the same time. We take temperatures. We have hand sanitizing. And we've also started implementing, since the COVID tests are free now, that they do take a weekly COVID test.
Okay. Now, what are the age limits for the students?
A great question. So we're grade 7 to grade 12, and you know that bonus grade 12 year if you need it.
Okay. So grade 7 through grade 12.
Yes. Okay. Yes.
All right. So no primary students as yet.
No, unfortunately, I was not blessed with the patience to deal with primary students.
That's not your forte. I get it. Yeah. Totally understood.
No.
Not a problem. I get it. I'm sure, you know, you'll find somebody who does as you go forward.
Oh, we actually do have a very good friend who does primary. So we can advise and recommend for the state. It's the same concept, only he does it for kindergarten to grade 6, and then they come up to us in grade 7.
Oh, okay. So they can ask you about partnering with them as well.
Yes.
All right. Tell us, of course, how we can contact you and how we can get in touch with the school for those who want to take advantage of your services, please.
Yes, absolutely. Courtney Benjamin, 778248. My personal number is 556-3820. You can call or WhatsApp. We do have email addresses, but they're very long. So you can look those up in our website, Premier Educational Solutions. You could just Google that and it'll come up. And we're on Facebook at PES242, on Instagram at Premier Ed Solutions 242.
All right. Excellent. I just found you at peeducationalsolutions.org. So it was really easy.
Yes.
All right. So peeducationalsolutions.org.
We're like the second link, I believe.
Well, excellent. Well, I thank you for coming on and explaining. And I know there are a lot of people who are looking for solutions for their children, particularly as they have gone back to work. And so this is a great avenue for them to take advantage of. And we appreciate you coming on and explaining that to us today.
Well, thank you for inviting me again.
All right. Well, have a great day. And thanks again very much for explaining the situation at Premier Educational Solutions. So, Talia Perez, we appreciate you. Have a great day.
Thank you very much, Mr. Workhorny. Have a great day.
All right. Take care. All right. That was Premier Educational Solutions. You can check them out. Like I say, I know Courtney Benjamin, so I'd send my kids to her, no doubt. All right. We're going to take a short break, and we'll be back on the other side. Stay tuned. We'll be right back.
believe in relationship banking. We take pride in getting to know our clients. You have access to knowledgeable, approachable ambassadors and financial coaches so that we can recommend the best product for you. At Fidelity, we care about you. From your financial health to your physical health, we can relate to you because we're just like you. Come and start your relationship banking experience with us today. Visit us online at fidelitygroup.com, visit any of our branches in Nassau or Grand Bahama, or phone 356-7764 in Nassau or 352-6676 for Freeport.
J.S. Johnson Insurance agents are the best. Reliable service, they've been on the scene, protecting since 1990. J.S. Johnson Insurance has the test. Always, you're always covered me. J.S. Johnson Insurance, peace of mind.
Wait, you know what's going down tomorrow?
Nobody, what happening?
Joe bringing the knife to school? He could do Junior in?
For what?
Wait, he fooled with Joe girl?
Mother sick. And you know Junior don't bog down for nothing. So that means he got a big fight tomorrow.
So whose side you want?
Side? I trying to stay in school, not Simpson fan. You gotta tell somebody about this fight.
Tell somebody? I ain't no snitch. I mean cool, you know.
Wait, if you so cool, then you need to stay in school and stay out of the fight.
Yeah, but if I don't hang on Joe's side, him and he boys coming for me next.
All right, so we definitely gotta tell somebody. We gotta prevent the fight.
What I say, I don't want nobody calling me snitch.
We could just call Crime Stoppers. You could report what you know, and nobody gotta know it's you.
So how do I work?
All you gotta do is call them, or you text them through the Crock Crime Bahamas app, and nobody can know it's you.
Then the police come looking for me for more info, and when they finish with them, Joe them coming looking for me?
When you call Crime Stoppers, the calls go directly to Miami, and they don't ask nothing about you. Then if you get the pen from them, and you can claim a reward later using that same pen.
Plus, everything's scrambled, so nobody can read what you're saying.
Calls 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio. 96.9 FM. We're going to finish discussing this National Review article as well as the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. And I know what a lot of you are going to say, right? Oh, let it go. You know, let it, it's water under the bridge. No, I'm not going to let it go. You know, I don't think I will. I think I'm going to run out with it. I think I'm going to continue on with it. I think that until you come in compliance with the law, somebody's got to kind of run out with you over it. Right? Because if I don't run, here's what happens when I don't run out. You don't feel as though you have to properly account in accordance with the law. So it takes someone like me to run out with it and beat everybody over the head with it, even though you're going to be mad at me and talk about it. Really, I don't care, right? If I don't run out with it, you're just going to go, these people ain't checking. I could sell them any story. I could do whatever I want. I can go tell y'all we spent $26 million and not disclose who we spent it with or how we spent it, not disclose what was done with it. And these Bahamians don't care, right? They care about who gone to Dubai. Apps. No Wi-Fi for you. No connect like Wi-Fi for you. Not this weekend. All right, let's continue with the National Review article. Let me back up here. It says, speaking with Nassau Guardian reporter Jasper Ward on Monday, Storr pointed to one of the contracts under review. He was speaking about the contract awarded to Sunrise Sanitation and Disposal, a company owned by former Free National Movement Senator Heather Hunt and her husband, who managed the Treasure Key Debris Management site. Storr said the company was granted a contract with payments ranging between $150,000 and $320,000 monthly. All right. It says Hunt confirmed yesterday that the work is ongoing. She told National Review that Sunrise Sanitation is a contractor of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority. We are performing our duties as per the terms of our contract, and we're not prepared to discuss this in a public forum, but can confirm that to date we've had no formal complaint from the Disaster Reconstruction Authority with respect to services rendered. Okay, fair enough. You're not prepared to discuss this in a public forum, and you don't have to as a private company. That's not really on you to discuss in a public forum what's going on, all right? It's on the Disaster Reconstruction Authority, which is spending public funds to engage you to explain how much the public is paying you and for what services the public should expect and if you have actually performed. Fact is, and also if the contract is in line with at least a national standard of what it costs for those same services throughout the Bahamas. All right? Because debris site management is debris site management. Unless I'm wrong about something here, right? So debris site management at Treasure Key is the same as the debris site management in Marsh Harbor, right? Or is it a different situation? Is there different equipment involved? Are there different sorts of trucks involved? Are they doing different things? Otherwise, what's being paid for a particular square footage of debris site management at one location should be paid at the next location, right? So I got to understand why this costs $300,000 per month, by the way. And this has been going on since 2019. So that's millions of dollars. And again, I'm not mad at anybody who's got a company and who's making money with the government. That's a normal, regular thing. But you're going to have to understand that if you're making money with the government, even though you as a private entity are not prepared to discuss the terms of your contractual arrangement with the government has an obligation to disclose to the public what the terms of that contractual arrangement are and if we are indeed getting value for money. Hunt said the company existed prior to Hurricane Dorian, carrying out residential garbage collection on New Providence, which continued. She said, being residents of Abaco at the time of the passage of Dorian, we became one of the many contractors hired by not only the DRA, but other government agencies. We were one of the many contractors engaged in the massive cleanup of millions of cubic yards of debris, which clearly costs money. Hunt is running for deputy chairman of the FNM and thinks the focus on our company to the exclusion of other contractors engaged by the DRA might be political. It is unclear who put information on social media recently on the company's contract award. She said, it's curious that 3 weeks before an FNM convention where I'm offering for the deputy chairman position of the Free National Movement, that I would be singled out of one of the many contractors who perform work for the government since the passage of Hurricane Dorian. Hunt, in the past, also provided legal services to the DRA, a revelation, Candia Dames writes, that is sure to result in her facing conflict of interest questions. So I'm going to stick a pin in it right there. It's not curious to me, Heather Hunt, who, you know, I've spoken with many times. She's a great person, you know, as far as I know. It's not curious to me because I understand what's happening. Do you think that there's been all this money spent by the DRA with no proper accounting today? ALP has remained quiet on that. And just by the way, after a former FNM senator and president of the Senate sues the government a couple of months after the Progressive Liberal Party administration fired her, you really think that it's coincidence that now this stuff is coming out? It's not curious at all. Had this lawsuit not been engaged in, and had it not been made public, it is likely that we would not hear as much from the DRA at this time. And it is also likely that your specific information and connections to the FNM with your company and the DRA would never have come out in the public. So we don't have to play cute about it. This is as a result of, in everything that I can see, the lawsuit. So the lawsuit by Kay Ford Smith has triggered the releasing of information clandestinely about the FNM's ties to the disaster reconstruction effort. And you'd kind of have to be a bit lost to think that there was that would have prompted it. Candia Dames wrote, we asked former DRA chairman John Michael Clark yesterday whether he believes the Bahamian people got value for money and how the authority's budget was used. Clark noted that following Hurricane Dorian, the authority, which was established on December 1, 2019, to manage reconstruction and restoration projects, had to arrange the collection and processing of 3.5 million yards of waste. Let me see here. He says it was established on December 1, 2019. Now, my gazetted copy of the Disaster Reconstruction Authority Act says November 29th, 2019. But, all right, we ain't going to trip over that. That's a matter of a couple of days. I'm just saying, mine doesn't say that. Anyway, let's go back to it. Oh, we got a phone call? Let's do a phone call. All right, we'll continue. We'll get through as much as we can. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How you doing, Juan?
I'm great. How are you?
Let me ask something.
Mm-hmm.
Was Heather Hunt the only person working for the disaster?
No, not recovery? Even close. Nope, not
so
at all.
Why we hear everybody's name called?
Great question. Love to know.
Is it political? Because I mean,
yes.
The lady suing the government have nothing to do with Heather Hunt. Because if her company did, why does, and if there were some people who had PLP, who had say everybody name, then we ain't got to feel bad. We could know who they were.
I'd love to know who everybody was.
You know? But
for certain.
They're talking everything. Like, I understand political in the Bahamas, but they're talking everything, but talk everything. And we never had no prime minister in this country, but they turn on no board. From Pinlin right up now, including Minnes. Never had none of their children on no board.
Okay.
Y'all do the investigation. Probably y'all might know. You know?
Yeah. I mean, I don't plan on letting it go by a long shot. And I don't know who all got contracts. But here's the thing. That's not me to stop talking about the fact that Heather Hunt admits she had a contract. Disaster Reconstruction Authority didn't follow the law by disclosing who all they have contracts with. And listen, at some point, if we're being real, we're going to have to start disclosing beneficial ownership with a lot of threshold if you get into con. If you're making millions of dollars a year off the government, no matter what you're doing, and it could be perfectly legitimate, no problem. You might be doing everything you say, and you might not be making that much of a profit or any profit at all. But still, the public has a right to know. Stop spending public dollars. You could do souse outs, right, to raise money or, you know, other avenues. But if you're going to spend public money, You got to disclose it for the public. And I say disclose everybody. Right? I don't just want Heather Hunt, but Heather Hunt's what we're dealing with before us. But I want everybody. Let me know. All right? Let me know. If it's my sister and brother, say so. I don't know. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Warren.
Hey, how's it going?
Like, this didn't have to be, you know. If the minister let Christie and Papa run this, they would get more money from them billionaire philanthropists around the world. And Papa would have run a tight ship.
Mm-hmm.
Everything would have been accounted for. But minister denied them that public service. Mm-hmm. Now the ball is his and his court. That they mess, like, plenty of money is gone and the money will never get back. But I think this game is party play. One, we could be a failed state soon, you know. We could be a failed state if no accountability, no transparency. It's like we borrow more money.
Mm-hmm.
We in trouble.
Yeah.
We in big trouble.
Okay, I got you.
All right.
Okay. So... I'm not saying this to say anything bad about anybody who's calling, right? We're going to do this one day. He just said fail state. Lately, including the discussion about the food prices, the oil prices, what inflation means in the Bahamas, the exchange, the raising and lowering of interest rates and what that means. One day, we're going to have a brief conversation, and I know one day we're going to have a brief conversation where we cover various topics, the first one being basic civics, which is a highbrow discussion. You should know this. Leaving primary school. Yeah? My son's learning about this now. We're going to, one, go through basic civics as to how your government works, right? What the Constitution establishes as the government. We're going to go through basic economics, including the currency peg and how our dollar works and how our banking system works and how our central bank system works. And we're also going to go through concepts such as what a failed state is. Is there some scenario in the future where the Bahamas becomes a failed state? Sure. I don't know what the future holds. He just said if Ingram and Christie were in charge of the hurricane relief, this wouldn't have happened. We can do a what-if scenario about anything. If Willy Wonka really existed, we'd have everlasting gobstoppers, and no one would have ever tried to steal the recipe. But again, if we're dealing with what's real, the Bahamas is nowhere close to what being a failed state is. It doesn't always work right, and people need to get their stuff together, and we need to be more accountable and not waste so much money and prioritize things. But this that we have going on here is not what a failed state looks like. So one day we're going to have just a brief Cliff Notes version of those things. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good job. And if we are heading to be in a failed state, we don't have to continue to head that way, because the fact that you on radio show that we have hope, because we're speaking against these things, we just need to reroute what we're doing and put up a plan that say where we intend to be in 5 years. At least not 5 years, because they'll be out of government by that time. Where we look to be in about, let's say, 3 years from here. And let's make it happen. Let's all come together and get our agriculture back together, like how it used to be when everyone had lime tree in their yard, this in their yard, and all that. You make it, you bring hope to us, so therefore let's continue to speak out, and let's pray for one another. Thank you.
All right, thanks a lot. This says, thank you, I was about to type you about that garbage caller talking about failed state. If this were a failed state, okay. If this were a failed state, this isn't the conversation we'd be having on the radio. Just to help you out. If it were even anywhere close. This says exactly one. That's why I said what Heather said. It's disgraceful. She was a lawyer for the DRA and has contracts for the same company. She wants to play victim now by claiming to be political. Further, it was revealed on social media of others getting contracts. Yeah, I've seen some stuff on social media, but I'm not going to rely on social media to help me with this one. I'm going to do some more digging myself. This says, Hunt says, it's curious, that's laughable, it's par for the course. Yeah, you'd have to be really unaware of how any of this works to find it surprising that after it becomes public that someone connected to the FNM, who was hired by the FNM administration to run this authority, after it becomes public that she's suing the government for hundreds of thousands of dollars, that information about the DRA, the agency that she was in charge of, is now coming to light. You'd have to be pretty lost to understand that one will naturally follow the other in the country that we live in. This says many CPAs could have verified those accounts even through the pandemic. It's sloppy and inexcusable. All donations for Hurricane Dorian oils have been sent to a hub logged in and only logged out to verify needful candidates approved by dual signatures. How hard is that? Contract should have been bidded out. 3 quotes documented and filed. What's the problem? You know what's interesting? I never did a story on this because they never wanted to go on the record. But when they submitted the unaudited financials for the DRA last year, I spoke to an accountant, one of the leading accountants in our country, and asked their assessment of these unaudited accounts. And they sent point-by-point notes tearing it to shreds. And I said, can I use your commentary? And they said, absolutely not. So we got a call? Sure. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
How you doing, bro?
Hey, I'm great. How's it going? Hello? Are you there? Was that Anton? No? I don't know, Anton. Your phone's did something. You can call back if after this break, I guess. Stay tuned.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Burger King Nassau is taking spice to new heights with the new Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwiches. Enjoy your choice of a flame-grilled Whopper or crispy chicken filet topped with chipotle sauce, guacamole, jalapenos, cheese, lettuce, tomato, all on a fresh potato bun. The new Baja Sandwiches at Burger King Nassau pack plenty of flavor, and with an ice-cold Pepsi and fries or onion rings, it's the perfect way to fill your day. The Baja Whopper and Baja Crispy Chicken Sandwich are only available at Burger King Nassau, where taste is king.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution on Guardian Radio. It says, one, the caller didn't say we are a failed state. So this type of behavior from government, non-transparency, no accountability, and just borrow more money to make up for shortfall will lead to a failed state someday. Well, he didn't say it like you said it. He said we're going to be a failed state. For example, to a failed state, that variation, that definition varies throughout the world, but I think I could comfortably say Yemen is a failed state. Syria, not to pick on the Muslims. At one point, Somalia was a failed state. Rwanda. Right now, Yemen would be your, or Syria would be your clearest example. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Okay. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. No? Everyone just... Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, a pleasant good afternoon, Juan. Can you hear me clearly?
Yes, I can.
Okay, great. Thank you. I'm sorry I missed your show today, but you picked up on a very important topic right before your break, and I just wanted to make a couple of comments on it. Can I go?
Okay.
Okay, great. Look, talking about those unaudited, and Juan, if you recall just yesterday when you had this show on talking about the DRA, right? I would have brought up a point to you that this is only an example. This is only a tip of the iceberg as to what kind of unscrupulous corrupt practices and contracts former Prime Minister Chubut.
So before we started the show today, because you didn't catch it, and I'm going to cut you off, I said we're not calling people corrupt, and we're not calling people thieves. We're not calling people liars. I wish you would have caught it, and I wouldn't have cut you off, but we'll pick back up on it tomorrow. Because I can't go back on my own rule. So I wish you would have heard that. But you didn't, and you still went there. So we're just not going to do that today. We'll do it tomorrow. Well, we're not going to call anyone corrupt tomorrow either. But you can contribute tomorrow with a firmer understanding of we're not calling people corrupt. Even euphemistically, like corrupt administration. I just don't, I'm not with it. It says they never name the contractors. I wonder why. It says, hey, Juan, if it was the PLP and Heather Hunt was a PLP, they would have called it something else. It says, listening to failed state guy was more tolerable when the last administration was in power, but now it's clear that he has something personal against Minnis attacking him every day. It says, great show as usual. That person who said they're making six figures is acting like a tool. You know what happened? Let me end the show on this. So, it says, I guess real property tax don't want their money won. Emailed them 2 weeks ago and still no bill. Was an efficient, silly idea to say emails to get your bill, not to send thousands of emails manually. I'd like to see the IT contract. I don't know what goes on where they change contractors, but the real property tax billing system, in terms of payment, it was working before. I don't know what you changed it for. But we'll talk about that more when Hakitas comes on the show. It says, Mrs. Smith was paid a handsome salary. Did she earn it? I don't think so. Check out the homes in Abaco. Some of them are very shabby since Dorian, and she got to be joking about suing this PLP government. Wow. You know what we're also going to do one day? We're going to explain, like, how people actually live, not how they live in, like, the fairy tale world of social media. We try to project where we have unlimited means, right? Well, not me. I don't do that. I have to live within my means. Where we go, oh, if someone's only in the Bahamas, someone's making $100,000 in government, we have a problem. No, not only in the Bahamas. I'm sorry. Right? The vast majority of the people on planet Earth don't make over $100,000 a year. The vast majority of the people on planet Earth have jobs. They work for corporations. They work for governments. They work for small and medium-sized enterprises. And their money actually matters. And so you can go clout chase on Twitter or whatever it is that you do and talk about $100,000, ain't no money to pay nobody, and that's why the government don't work. That's nonsense. Okay? Complete and utter nonsense. Just because you want to act like you rich and you balling out of control don't mean that we can't look at value for money and what happens in government particularly. And the private sector don't pay all that much either, unless you have a very specialized set of skills. Stop fronting like all y'all making all this money all the time. It ain't real. We don't believe you. But we'll talk about it one day and put it into perspective for you. All right, that's going to do it for the show today. We'll be back tomorrow, Lord willing, and we'll talk some more, possibly about these and other issues. You guys take care out there and have a great day, Bahamas.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Burger King, Ron's Electric Motors, Wendy's, Fidelity Bank Bahamas, Airborne Freight and Cargo Services, and the Water and Sewage Corporation.